You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Kim Mundy from our international economics team. And Kim, great to have you here.
Thanks, Belinda. Great to be here again.
It is. Now, overnight, we did have the International Monetary Fund come out and revise lower their global growth forecasts. Mm-hmm. What are the IMF now thinking?
Yeah, so the IMF have revised down their 2020 global forecast. They're now expecting a contraction of 4.9%. Previously being only April, they were expecting a contraction of 3%. So it's quite a significant downgrade. They are still expecting a relatively robust increase in 2021. So they're forecasting a 5.4% increase in 2021, but that is down slightly from their previous forecast of 5.8%.
Now, the IMF have based their forecast on no more widespread lockdowns. Mm-hmm. At the moment, we are obviously seeing some increasing case numbers come through. That could obviously change the actual result. And we know at the moment it's an unprecedented time to be forecasting.
Absolutely.
We're all finding it hard to actually understand the path of the pandemic and how that's going to impact on everyone's choices. How do the IMF forecasts differ to our own here at CBA?
So the IMF is a little bit more, I guess, downbeat in 2020 compared to what we're currently forecasting. But it is worth reiterating just how uncertain these times are. So we're forecasting a 3.2% contraction over this year, and then we're forecasting a 4.7% increase in 2021. We're both expecting the majority of the downturn to be captured in Q2 of 2020, so the similarities there. But I guess one thing to keep in mind is even though the numbers for 2021 might sound quite big, 4.7% solid global annual growth increases, we're still actually expecting a relatively modest recovery in the global economy. So another way to look at it is on a levels basis. We don't expect the global economy to be back at the December 2019 levels for about 18 months, so until the middle of 2021.
And I know here in Australia, we actually don't expect those levels to be re-achieved until early 2022, which goes to show you that every country is performing a little bit differently at the moment. Speaking of that, we're going to go around the world now and talk about your outlook for some of the major economies that you cover. I'm going to start with the US.
Yes.
So your US outlook obviously is coupled on a few different moving parts at the moment. Case numbers are rising again. We did see another rise overnight in the US numbers in particular states. What's the current view on the US economy?
Yeah, so we are expecting that the US economy has sort of hit the trough already and is on the rebound. We're expecting a 5.8% fall in GDP in 2020. Again, that's largely contained to a Q2 fall. But, you know, the rising infection rates that we're seeing in some parts of quite populous states in the US and also increasing hospitalization rates does just increase the possibility that some states might start to think about reimposing their lockdowns. So our forecasts are based on the assumption that we don't see those lockdowns reimposed. So I guess a key downside risk there to our US outlook this year is around those state lockdowns. Another risk that we're just conscious of is the US 2020 election, which is taking place in November this year.
Coming up quick.
Coming up very quickly. Particularly, there's a risk that we see, I guess, the Trump administration take a little bit more of a hardline approach to China leading up to the election, and that could cause a little bit more volatility in markets.
And we've obviously saw the US-China Phase 1 trade deal signed in early January. But obviously mm-hmm. negotiations and comments by some senior Trump administrations have impacted markets and the outlook this week as well. Moving on to Europe, we obviously saw the European countries heavily impacted by the coronavirus outbreak earlier in the year. They're coming out of lockdown now. What's the outlook for the Eurozone economy?
Yeah, so Europe was sort of the second, I guess, epicenter of the virus outside of China, and initial economic data show that it has been hit very hard by lockdowns. We're expecting a 7%, just over a 7% fall in 2020 GDP growth, so that just reiterates how heavily it has been hit. One of the things that we will be watching for, though, is the sort of fiscal solidarity, or signs of growing fiscal solidarity. It's one of the unique aspects of the Eurozone, I guess, is that you have a group of different governments that are trying to come to an agreement around how to support the wider Eurozone economy. Signs are suggesting that we might see some more solidarity or some steps taken in July, but again, it's something that we will be watching very closely.
So I guess that could provide some upside risks going forward if we do actually get to see some stronger fiscal response come through Europe. We obviously have had the European Central Bank take a quite expansionary approach as well and do some policy measures there. Turning our attention to the UK, we obviously saw the UK economy quite impacted. The statistic that got me was the UK economy contracted by 20.4% in April. It's exactly. A huge number.
It's a dramatic fall.
It is.
And we actually revised our GDP forecast for the UK lower off the back of that number. So we're expecting a 10% fall in UK GDP in Q2. And we're expecting overall UK GDP to fall by 7.5% over 2020. Now, for the UK, they have sort of an extra, I guess, headwind that they're facing at the moment, and that comes down to the ongoing turmoil caused by the Brexit vote. Still not out of the woods there, and that will remain a key headwind. So if we don't see any progress, I guess, made on UK-EU Brexit negotiations, we're coming down to the wire there, then we could see more uncertainty in the UK, and that could suggest even more downside risks to the outlook over the rest of this year.
Now, we have seen the Bank of England obviously take some policy measures in at their last meeting, so they have increased their quantitative easing program.
Yeah, the Bank of England has stepped up quite sharply to try and support the economy through this time.
Now, moving to Japan, what is happening in the Japanese economy? It looks like, you know, they were struggling even before the coronavirus outbreak.
Yeah, so Japan actually fell into recession in Q4 of last year, and that was off the back of an increase in the VAT tax on the 1st of October 2019. So given Japan's economy was already facing that headwind before the coronavirus pandemic took hold, we're expecting a 6.7% decline. That's fiscal year 2020. I'll just make a note of that. Japan will be facing a slow recovery, and we also see quite a risk that we have a period of deflation in Japan as well.
I guess one of the things to keep in mind with Japan is there's always got the headwind of their population growth.
Exactly.
So that's always going to provide it even harder to get a stronger economic recovery.
Yeah, potential economic growth in Japan is a lot lower than it is in many other developed nations purely because of the demographics. So that means that you can't get the pace of economic recovery that we might be able to see in some other countries.
And I guess the big contrast to that is China.
Exactly.
Which has a much higher potential growth rate. But even though they entered the coronavirus pandemic first and kind of came out of that, still the outlook for China is a bit more mixed as well.
It is. We are seeing some green shoots coming out of China, and that's definitely a positive, especially for the Australian economy. And, you know, we're not forecasting a recession in the Chinese economy, but annual growth of 1.5% per year, which is what we are forecasting, is essentially a recession in Chinese terms. However, there has been quite a strong focus on fiscal stimulus. There's been more fiscal stimulus than we thought there would be. And that has been largely focused on infrastructure investment. And so that has follow-through positives for Australia's economy and strong demand for Australia's bulk commodity prices. But generally, the faster the Chinese economy recovers, the better it is for the global economy. So There's been definitely positive signs out of those green shoots coming out of China.
One thing I would say on China is, though, for the first time in quite some time, they have not set a GDP target for this year, which goes to show you how hard it is to forecast
exactly
economics at the moment. Now, we're going to finish with New Zealand, your home country.
Yes.
So what is happening in the New Zealand economy? They obviously had much more stringent lockdown measures than most other countries out there. Is that impacting both the economic data that we've seen out of New Zealand as well as the outlook?
Yeah, so the essentially 5 weeks of complete lockdown in New Zealand, absolutely unprecedented. The thought of not being able to buy a coffee for 5 weeks just doesn't even bear thinking about.
No, it doesn't.
And we are seeing that that lockdown has impacted economic data. So Q1 GDP fell by 1.6% over the quarter, keeping in mind that that stringent lockdown period only captured a handful of days at the end of the quarter, really does pave the way to show just how weak that Q2 data might be out in New Zealand. So our ASB colleagues are forecasting a 17% decline over the quarter, which is just a huge fall.
Which is about twice the size of the detraction we're expecting in Australian GDP over Q2.
Exactly. And I guess one of the positives is that New Zealand did manage to control the coronavirus spread relatively quickly. As a result of that, we have seen New Zealand move to more relaxed social distancing rules, and that should encourage the economy to lift over the second half of 2020.
So, Kim, you published your Global Economic Outlook presentation pack on June the 19th, and that can be found on combankresearch.com.au. Thanks for joining today, Kim.
Thanks so much for having me, Belinda.